Guys, we are in a series of counterculture. And it's not something that we're trying to necessarily fight against. We're trying to align the way we should live as Christ followers. If we are really going to call ourselves Christ followers, if we are going to follow Christ, we don't want to just be a Christ believer. Like, oh yeah, Jesus came and died for me, so now I can do whatever I want because I believe that. We want our lives, if we want to be to follow Christ, we want to follow what he says to do. And in Matthew 5, 6, and 7, from the Sermon on the Mount, he gives us specific things that we are to do. Now, the first couple times, he was getting on to the Pharisees. He was kind of having a little bit a battle back and forth with them. But now he's going to dig right to us. And I'm going to tell you, there are going to be some things today that are uncomfortable. And some of you are going to be offended, and you're going to look for another church. And you know what? That's okay. Because that's not Paul saying this. This is Jesus saying this. But let me preface all of this by saying Jesus isn't saying this to disenfranchise you. Jesus is showing you a couple things. Number one, he's showing how far we are from being righteous and holy. That we are so far from that. We think in our minds we're good, but we're not. You know, when people come up to me and say like, well, can't we all just get along? No, because we're human. We'll get along for a little bit, but after a few minutes, you're going to get on my nerves, I'm going to get on your nerves, and we're going to punch each other out. That's what's happening on the internet now, on Facebook. And we're getting ready to go into that turbulent time of, you know, people running for office. And what happens? Friends will be like this. Because our country is really split. We have people that follow Jesus and people that don't follow Jesus. We have people that say they follow Jesus, but they don't follow Jesus, and they're just kind of fighting back from a I'm better than you kind of standpoint. But Jesus is going to show us that none of us are righteous, none of us are holy, but there's hope. He's going to give us six things today. He's going to say, you've heard it said, but I say to you. And he's going to give us six of these, so we're going to dive right into this. If you'll turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5, and I am in verses 21 through 48 today. It sounds like a lot because it is. He's going to just jump in, and I'm just going to dive in with him. Ready? I am starting in verse 21. You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be liable to judgment. Here's the thing. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council. And whoever says, you fool, will be liable to the hell of fire. Okay? That's just the beginning here. There are two types of laws here. Remember who he was talking about before? He was talking to the scribes, the lawyers of the law. He was talking to the Pharisees, the righteous people, the Sadducees, like the judges. And so as they were all getting together, remember what he tells us in verse 20 right before that? Unless your righteousness exceeds those of the Pharisees, you can't enter into the kingdom of God. In other words, if you can't even be as righteous as them, and they're just on the outside, they're filled with dead man's bones, you're not going to get in there. That's scary. But here's what Jesus is saying. Here's what the law says. Don't murder. And so we think, okay, well, I hadn't murdered anybody. Check that off the list, right? But Jesus takes it a step further. He goes, wait a minute. What I say to you is if you hate somebody, you've committed murder. Uh-oh. I mean, I'm a parent. There are times, I got to be honest with you, I hated my kids. And I can tell you, there are probably some times my kids hated me. There are some times even the closest friends I didn't really like. And God is telling me that that's just like murder. He's showing us how far we are from being righteous. I haven't killed anybody, God. I have followed the letter of the law. He's saying, but you haven't followed the heart of the law. The heart of the law is you hate somebody. You're murdering somebody. He goes on to say in verse 23, so if you are offering a gift at the altar and there you remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. In other words, don't come and put on the facade and say everything's good when everything is not good. Take care of that first. You know why? Because people matter. Relationships matter. Take care of that first before you bring anything to me is what Jesus is saying. And then he says this, come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are going with him to court, lest your accuser hand you over to the judge and the judge to the guard and you be put in prison. Truly I say to you, you will never get out until you've paid the last penny. In other words, take care of the relationship first. Take care of the relationship first. You see how far we are? We might be able to check the box. I haven't killed anybody. But when it comes to hate or anger towards somebody, we're all guilty. Let's see what he says next. You have heard it said, here we go again, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Oh my gosh. All right, here we go. Have I committed adultery? Well, you're talking about the act? No, check that off the box. Have ever looked at another woman or another girl or another man or another whatever? Jesus is showing us how far we are from being righteous and how far we are from being holy. He's saying if you've looked at anybody like, you've committed adultery already in your heart. Again, you followed the letter of the law. You did not commit adultery, but you did not follow the heart of the law. Here's what he says. He gets real graphic here. Jesus gets real graphic. Here's what he says. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away, for it is better that you lose one of your members than the whole body to be thrown into hell. In other words, take your finger, stick it inside between your nose and your eyeball, and rip it out. That's what he's saying to do. Then he says this, and if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away, for it is better than that you lose one of your members than your whole body to go to hell. Pornography, lust, all of these things lead to adultery. And Jesus is saying, rip your eye out, cut your hand off. He's being graphic. Now, he's probably using hyperbole because none of the disciples were one-eyed and one hand. And all of them probably struggled with lust or different things in their life, different sin. But Jesus is showing us how far we are from being righteous and how far we are from being holy. Oh, yeah, I didn't commit adultery, but the spirit of the law, the heart of the law, I broke. And then this anger and this murder and this lust and adultery, what does it lead to next? Here's what he says. It was also said, whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. Now what that meant was, God says, I hate divorce, do not get divorced. God, that was God's law, don't divorce. That's it, plain and simple. But man, so they wouldn't get in trouble, came up with some different things. The certificate of divorce, and this is exactly what Joseph was going to give Mary when he found out she was pregnant. The certificate of divorce basically is like, look, I'll go my way, you go your way, I'll be happy, you be happy, you take the house, you take the car, and you'll be happy. It's kind of like, have you seen the new divorce Barbie doll? It comes with all the Ken stuff. So the point is, if you give her that certificate, everything is fine. You'll be happy. But let's see what Jesus says, okay? Here's what Jesus says. But I say to you, again, you heard it said, but I say to you, this is Jesus, that everyone who divorces his wife except on the ground of sexual immorality makes her commit adultery. And whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Wow. In our society today, there are so many people that have been divorced and remarried, and some still struggle with this. Because the letter of the law, for me, okay, I've never got divorced. I'm okay. But some of you have. And I'm not trying to beat you up, and I'm not trying to say, oh, you know, Jesus hates you, because Jesus doesn't hate you. He's just showing how far we are that we will make up laws and say, like, you know what? It'll be okay because I'm going to give you everything. I'm going to give you this certificate of divorce so you could go about your life and I could go about my life. What he is showing is that it's all about you. I'm not happy in my marriage, so I'm going to go and be happy. Jesus never said, God never said, be happy because I'm happy. He says, be holy because I'm holy. God doesn't care about your happiness. He cares about your heart. Now, those of you that have experienced divorce, those of you that have been through the pain of divorce, you know how divorce fractures the family. Even if you get the certificate of divorce and everything appears to be fine, split families. You don't get to see your kids all the time. There are many different just things that you don't think about it, and it tears at the very fabric of who you are. Jesus, again, is showing us how far we are from being righteous and holy. Let's move on. Oaths. Again, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not swear falsely, but shall perform to the Lord what you have sworn. But I say to you, do not take an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God. Don't take an oath by God. I swear to God. Hear that all the time. I swear to God. Don't swear to God because everything is his. And don't swear by the throne for the earth, for it is his footstool. Or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not take an oath by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Well, some of us have a special color, like number 17, that you could put on there and you could change it. But here's what Jesus says. Let what you say be simply yes or no. Anything more than that comes from what? Evil. Anything else that comes from that is evil. You're going too far. Just don't. Either yes or no. Let your yes be yes, your no be no. Again, he's showing us how far we are from being righteous and holy. Retaliation. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. I still hear people say that. You'll see people write that on the internet. That's right, an eye for an eye, tooth for tooth. I'm going to punch him out, right? But I say to you, this is what Jesus says, do not resist the one who is evil, but if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if anyone would sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go 2. And give to the one who begs from you, and do not refuse the one who would borrow from you. In other words, you are to be a servant. Where have we seen that before? From Jesus himself. It's not about you. It's about God. And if it's about God, and God loves people so much, then we need to be serving others. Not getting in battles with others, not being upset at others, not being, you know, just praying for others, praying with others. Then he goes on to this one, verse 43. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes the sun rise on the evil and on the good and sends rain on the just and the unjust. Think about this. The farmer, the good guy that helps everybody in his community, okay? And then the bad farmer over here. I'm sorry, I always pick on that. This side. Y'all are the bad farmers today. They're the good farmers, okay? You got the good and the bad. And when the rain falls, it falls on both of them. And sometimes those of us that think we're just and think we're holy and think we've, you know, we're connected to God better because look at all that I do, we think, well, how come they're getting something out of this? How come bad things happen to good people and it seems like the bad people, good things are happening to? It's because God lets it go on everybody. The just and the unjust. And it's not for us to be upset at the unjust. They're living the way they know how to live. But are we living the way we should be living as followers of Jesus Christ? He says this, "For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have?" I mean, it's easy to love the people that love us. I mean, I want to hang around people that love me. People that don't love me, I don't want to hang around. You know? I know some marriages where, like, the wife comes home and she's just berated by her husband over and over and over again. It's like, you don't want that. You want to be with somebody that you love, right? But he's saying, no. If you love only those who love you, what reward do you have? He says, do not even the tax collectors do that? And if you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? For even the Gentiles, those outside the faith, they do that. You, therefore, must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Yikes. He is showing us how far we are from being righteous and holy and perfect. Go back to verse 20. Says this, "For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." So how do we do that? What do we do? What is God saying to us? Is there no hope for us? No, there is hope. What Jesus is saying is, He is the hope. I can tell you there is not anything you can do, anything you can say, anything that you can give that will get you any closer to heaven, that will get you any closer to the righteousness of God than to give your life to Jesus Christ and follow Him. Not just believe. Don't just get caught up in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that whosoever believes in Him." And we just, well, I believe that, but I'm not going to follow Him. I believe it. I'm a Jesus believer, but I am not a Jesus follower. I mean, call it what it is. There is nothing in the Bible that talks about like a non-practicing Christian. You know, well, yeah, me and Jesus are fine, but man, I'm not going to church. Where God says, Jesus says, "This is my body." And whether you're in Three Point or some other church, be in church because that's the body of Christ, and He gave His life for that. He's saying, only through the mercy and the grace and the love of God do we even have hope. Psalm 119, verses 1 through 8. "Blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep His testimonies, who seek Him with their whole heart, who also do no wrong, but walk in His ways. You have commanded your precepts to be kept diligently. Oh, that my ways may be steadfast in keeping your statute. Then I shall not be put to shame, having my eyes fixed on all your commandments." Do you see what he's saying in there? He's talking about walking in the law of the Lord. He's talking about seeking Him with our whole heart, to follow His precepts, to follow His law, to have our eyes fixed on His commandments. Then he says this in verse 7, "I will praise you with an upright heart when I learn your righteous rules. And I will keep your statutes. Do not utterly forsake me." How are we going to keep that? Well, it's like what it said in Jeremiah and what it said in Ezekiel, that when we come to know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit puts the law of God on our heart. And we know that this is right. We know that this is wrong. And we know how far we have fallen from a righteous God. And the only hope that we have is to fall on our face and on our knees and cry out to Him and say, "God, save me because I am a sinner." The New Testament warns us that in the end times, there are going to be many, many false prophets that are going to say things that we want to hear. I mean, I want to follow a gospel that's easy to follow. I want to follow a gospel that doesn't require anything of me. You know? I really don't, but I wouldn't know what to do with that. But the idea is, you know, if the church looks like the culture out there, why have a church? If there is no difference, if there is no hope, if there is no light, how can you be the salt of the earth, the light of the world, the city on the hill, if you are exactly the same as the culture around us? You can't. Does that mean we're better than them? No. It just, we realize whose we are. And because of that, it gives us hope for the future. And it gives us the opportunity to live different. Now, for some of you that kind of felt beat up, maybe you've experienced divorce, maybe you've had adultery in your life before, you've had all of these things. Jesus says, the old is gone. That's gone. You are a new creation in Christ. I give you a new ring, a new robe, a new name. You're not the same. So don't go back and live that way. When he looked at the prostitute and said to her, who condemns you? And she says, no one. He goes, I don't condemn you either. Now go and sin no more. In other words, be different. Be changed. Be counter-cultural. And that's what Jesus says to us today. He wants us to come to him and to lay all of our junk down and don't get defensive about what's going on around us, what's going on in our society. You know, when you read something that, well, you know, so-and-so is this and so-and-so is that, they're living life like they know how to live. To them, they're not doing anything wrong in their eyes. And for us to kind of sit back like this and say, God's going to get you. No, we should be saying, no, we pray that God gets you. We pray that God gets you. That you quit living for yourself, that you live for God, that you quit being a Jesus believer. Hey, man, it's all good, because it ain't all good. And let's be a Christ follower and do what Jesus says to do. And if we're going to follow Christ, you have to pick up your cross daily. Daily. You have to deny yourself daily. For me, it's not just daily. It's moment by moment. Let's pray. Almost gracious Heavenly Father, just thank you for today. Father, thank you for the opportunity just to come into your house and to dig into your word and open it up and let it speak to us. Father, I pray that your word would just fall fresh on us, that it would be just like holy rain pouring on us. Father, may your spirit be alive and dwelling within us in such a way that we would just be bubbling over with the goodness of Christ in our lives. Father, I pray that we would be the salt of the earth. I pray that we would be the light of the world. I pray, Father, that our church would be that city on a hill that would be a beacon of hope to people that have no hope, that people are lost, that people that are confused, that people are depressed and discouraged. Father, I pray that we would be that beacon, that we would be that lifeline, that we would be that life preserver to bring them into your presence and allow your Holy Spirit to do a work in their lives. Oh, Father, we love you so much, and we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.